Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, Ask Steven Larson, Episode 2. Why are we doing Ask Steven Larson again, Larson?
Because we're traveling all day tomorrow. Or today, the day this video goes up, so we won't have time to do a Raw recap. Mm-hmm. As usual, we are going to do a joint Raw SmackDown recap at some point on Wednesday. We got a really busy week. Can't really talk about it at all yet, but details will be forthcoming soon.
Yeah, you guys, trust me. So we don't travel very often, but what we have coming up because of this travel... So today we were in ETC's, we did a dadcast.
Correct.
On ETC's channel. Check that out. And then last night, it went up today, James from Couch Hop hopped into our No Mercy discussion, our No Mercy review. That was a lot of fun. Once again, thanks to him.
Yes.
But yeah, so we're going back. We're in LA right now. We're going back to Sacramento tonight, and then we're hopping a plane tomorrow morning. Off far away to do some cool stuff. We'll be back on Thursday, and then next week everything will be back to normal.
Yes.
But next week, next week and the week after, and the week sort of following that, we're gonna have some cool stuff because of this week.
Yes.
So that should be a lot of fun. So the thing is, because we don't have time to do a Raw podcast, and we're gonna do it combined with SmackDown, we need to put something up on Monday.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Today is Monday.
So that's why we're doing an Ask Steven Larson. So this is the show. We don't talk about wrestling. You know, we've been talking about wrestling a lot lately, Larson.
Yeah, and we're into more than just wrestling.
Yeah, true.
I'm going to get more comfortable.
We have very full lives where we enjoy all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And so we put the call out to our patrons at patreon.com/Steven Larson to ask us non-wrestling questions. So if you're here for the wrestling, just come back tomorrow or watch one of the other wonderful shows on our channel if you want to know more about... the Steven Larson experience.
Yeah, then stick around.
Then stick around. First up from...
Yeah, let us begin.
Liam Wagner. Where does the term friendos come from?
No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men. We're both big marks for that movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
And, of course, Anton Chigurh.
Yeah.
Flip the coin, friendo. And I know, I think I originally said it probably off the cuff during an episode of 10 for the Win way back in the day. And it just stuck as we co-opted it.
Yeah.
We took it.
It's ours now.
It's our thing now. They can no longer have it. Next, Kevin Mack. Mac and cheese.
Return of the Mac.
Return of Kevin Mack. Who are your favorite movie villains of all time?
Biff Tannen.
Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Is one of mine.
Anton
Chigurh,
yeah.
The aforementioned.
Yeah, good choice.
Khan.
Oh, yeah.
Khan might be.
Khan might be number
how
one.
How is that number one, not number one?
Yeah, Khan's number
that's
one.
That's a good Mount Rushmore right there, though.
It's pretty good.
What is that? Khan, Biff Tannen, Darth Vader, and Anton Chigurh?
That's pretty good.
That's a really good Mount Rushmore.
You kind of have a lot of your villain bases covered there.
Yeah, you do. It's a wide spectrum of villainy.
Yes.
Next.
Hal. I'm going to add Hal to that list.
Oh, Hal? You're going to talk. What about Tyler Durden?
No, I'll stick with Hal.
Hal it is.
Hal's right. A better answer.
Wow, I'm trying to think of other... What are other... What about... what was Sterling Hayden's name? Or Hayden Sterling's name in... in Doctor Strangelove?
His last name was Ripper.
General Ripper? Colonel Ripper?
Colonel Ripper or something like that.
Oh, yeah. James Rodriguez, what does your ideal day off look like?
Great question.
Ideally, what does your day off look like, man?
It'll start... with an opportunity to sleep in, because that's a rarity in my life these days.
Sure.
Because I constantly feel like I'm operating on a sleep deficit.
Oh, sure.
Maybe a nice brunch.
Oh.
Like some Eggs Benedict.
Yeah.
Maybe a Belgian waffle.
Okay.
Something along those lines. If I'm like feeling like I really want to indulge, some biscuits and gravy.
Oh, biscuits.
Come back. No, I won't go back home yet. Do something with the family.
Yeah.
In the morning. Light lunch, maybe a salad or something.
Okay.
And then a nap. Again, sleep deficit.
Yeah.
Maybe watch some sports.
Sports.
another thing I don't get to do very much anymore.
This is a lazy day for you, man.
Yeah. Because most of my days I'm on the go or doing something all the time. So pretty much I just want to have some time to do things I don't often get to do.
Yeah.
Like get my guitar out, plug it into my amp, make some noise. Don't get to do that anymore.
Yeah.
I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
And then again, evening, eat. I like to eat.
Let me ask you something. When it comes to plugging in your guitar.
Yeah.
Do you find that jamming in itself, just making like some music,
mm-hmm.
is fulfilling, or do you ever have the desire to like write something specifically, like write a song?
It depends on my disposition at the time, because I mean, granted, now I don't have much time to do,
mm-hmm.
do
yeah.
either.
Yeah.
But if I had an opportunity right now just to plug in, what I'd probably do is just kind of noodle around on songs I know how to play.
Oh, yeah.
That's generally what I do when I have a chance to just grab my guitar now. I'll just kind of play some riffs.
And that scratches your itch?
A little bit. But I mean, like, I don't ever get to plug in my amp with my effects pedals and that kind of stuff anymore and actually play loud, you know? It's just unplugged.
The reason I ask is because, I really like to draw, obviously.
Yeah.
But I've got this itch in me to, like, do an actual comic book again. But and so, like, just doodling or just drawing something random
isn't satisfying.
Doesn't really satisfy me.
I knew I had time, like, I have this pipe dream of starting a cover band.
Yeah,
but it's all like 80s, 90s. I don't want to say alternative, but like popular independent music of the 80s and 90s, like early REM.
Oh yeah, sure.
Joy Division.
Yeah.
Some Replacements, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Pavement.
Yeah.
Stuff that was popular, you know, in the independent scene, maybe sure. some crossover success for example, REM, but still not like playing stuff that most people play in cover bands from the 80s. Like, I don't want to play Journey.
Oh, yeah.
Or
Billy Joel.
Yeah, I don't play.
I know you're a huge Billy Joel fan.
Oh, I can't stand Billy Joel.
You love him.
So that's kind of my pipe dream. I've kind of given up on being a musician in my own right.
Yeah.
Even though I have written songs. Can't say I'm really like happy with any of them.
Yeah.
But I think that'd be fun. Just do a cover band, play on the weekends here and there.
That'd be fun. My ideal day off is waking up whenever. I don't feel the need to sleep in because I get the sleep that I want. But I like to sleep like to my natural course, which usually is around 8. Like a Denny's breakfast would be great, like pancakes. Or waffles or something.
All you can
like
eat pancakes?
Yeah, all you can eat pancakes plus $2.
Plus the extra two.
Extra two pancakes. And then just, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I'm just sort of dicking around. Like
just do the things we don't often get the chance to do.
Yeah.
That's kind of my how I'd feel my
like,
ideal day.
Like, legitimately. And honestly, like, if I really, like, on a Saturday, well, yeah, on a Saturday or Sunday these days, I can usually do it. Like, Lacey likes to go out. And go like run her errands or go shopping or whatever. She always takes Alabama with her.
Oh, okay.
So like, just sort of like plunking down and playing NBA, like 2K. I could just zone out and do that all day long.
Mm-hmm.
So what is one of your guys' favorite stories from working at Machinima?
I put some thought into this. I don't know if it's necessarily my favorite, but I think it was one of the better times we've had working for Machinima. One of the years we did some hosting at E3. I don't know if it's 2012 or 2013. We were spent a lot of time manning the social media center. And there was this one instance. I don't remember exactly if something went haywire.
Yeah,
I think it's what it was. And so there was a lot of questions being asked and they were coming out like lightning round.
Yeah.
And somehow for a span of, I don't know how long, maybe a couple of minutes,
mm-hmm.
we were just,
yeah. just
shooting out answers left and right and not losing a beat.
The Twitter wall just started going crazy.
Yeah.
And we started like, we were on the verge of cracking up and then we just started answering questions like, yeah, like you said, lightning round style. No, that was a lot of fun. That E3 stuff was both unnerving and fun.
Yeah.
Because, like, being live in front of a camera. Granted, mm-hmm. we do it all the time now, but talking about wrestling, we can do that all day long.
Yeah.
But, like, especially the gaming stuff. The worst was interviewing gaming people. That was the worst, man. I freaking hated that stuff. Because, like, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And then I remember Kovic tweeted at me a still of me interviewing, I think, like, one of the dudes from Quantum Break.
Yeah.
And, like, I had this look on my face where just I look like I wanted to be shot. Like, anyway.
I remember that. I thought that interview went pretty well, actually, that one.
I think it did, too. Maybe it wasn't that one. Maybe it was a different one. But I don't know. I did not like doing that stuff.
Well, that's not the question. The question is fond memories.
I always really loved the IGAs.
Yeah, those were always fun.
Those were so much fun because it was just a big party, and you and I would always have like a small role on the broadcast. But it was because I've never wanted like what Kovic and Bruce did, like actually hosting it. Or I think one year was like maybe the first year was like Kovic and Matt, I forget, or Kale or something like that. But like I was always happy with the roles that they gave us, which is really like low key.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, let's switch to them. And even then I remember like I forget who it was, but we interviewed a couple people that were like really big YouTubers. And I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that was the last year.
They were like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, I don't know who these people are.
I remember the one year that we were up in the fan balcony.
Mm-hmm.
Where they brought the fans.
Yes,
in.
I remember that.
I think it was at the Henry Fonda Theater.
Yeah.
And we were up there.
Yeah.
That was neat.
Yeah. No, those were a blast. You get dressed up. And like, I think one of those years we brought the wives out, and that was fun. So that was really cool. I always loved that. And then just visiting that was one thing about Machinima is like whenever we'd visit, and I mean, we did it today with ETC. Like whenever we would visit, it was always like a fan, like they would always treat us like great.
I know.
Like we
always felt like a family reunion.
Yeah, I know. It did. It totally did. I don't know. That was cool.
I feel like this is going to set a record for the most slouching in a podcast ever.
Yeah, I know. We don't do it very, we don't get the opportunity to slouch a lot, do we?
No.
So this is, we're going to take advantage of it. I mean, the only thing that we could do beyond this is like get pizza and eat pizza.
But we're saving that for later.
Yeah, I know, for all. Okay. And then on top of that, not just that stuff, but back at the old house at Trails, when you would come over and we'd shoot the intros,
mm-hmm.
like in the early days, especially, that was so much fun. Simply because it was like, it was just pure creativity. It was like we were just developing our own little comedy act.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were just like, Lacey bought me a GoPro for Christmas one year or my birthday or whatever. And so we would incorporate that.
I know my wife got me a Zoom.
Right. Yeah. Year. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we had like our, and it was just the two of us. Like, I don't know. That's why there was never any like traveling two shots with us, with both of us in it, because we can like, we never had like a third person.
Yeah. Or very rarely.
Yeah.
I always have fond memories of the very early days working with Machinima when it was just six of us in one little office in West LA.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Did it feel like you were like building something? Or was it just because it was so small and there was like
In all honesty, it was a situation where I walked into working for a company that I had no idea existed.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And really wasn't familiar with what they did, so at the time I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just needed a job.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it was fun being a part of the company as it developed and as it grew.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty neat.
Yeah. Oops. Okay. Let's see here. Andrew Mullen, what's the best concert you've ever seen? For me, it was that Radiohead one that we got. You hooked up the pit tickets.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably that one for me.
That was pretty good.
Because, like, being that close to Radiohead is, like, kind of transcendent.
Yeah, that was neat. I kind of feel like, performance-wise, the first time we saw him
in San Francisco. Okay.
In 98.
Yeah.
I still feel like that might have been the best. It's hard for me to put a finger on which is the best, because I've been fortunate to go to a lot of good ones.
Mm-hmm. I can barely remember it. To be honest, I can barely remember that 98 one.
I remember we were so elated on the way back home.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That's why I remember a lot of strobe lights.
Well, that's the thing is like...
I remember the elation we felt.
I think I remember like the feeling more than
I remember
than, like,
a guy asking
details.
Us for drugs while we were walking to the venue.
Oh, that's funny. I remember that. You know what's funny is when we say 98, you realize that's 19 years ago.
I know.
That's weird. Jack Dolan, you get $1 million. But every year on your birthday, you get transported back in time to watch your parents have sex and make you. Do you take the money or no? $1 million is not that much. If it was $1 million a year, I'd consider it much more than just straight up $1 million.
Isn't it $1 million a year?
No, it just says you get $1 million, but every year on your birthday.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's a game changer for you, huh?
After taxes, that's at best $600,000.
So If it was a million a year, though, you could retire. You just have to go watch your parents have sex. I'm gonna say no. My thing about people asking me to do humiliating things for giant gobs of money is, you know what? I'm doing okay right now. I'm doing okay. Things are going good. I don't need $1 million to be happy. It would make me perhaps feel more secure in my life if I had $1 million, but I don't want to watch my parents do sex.
Yeah.
And on top of that, maybe even worse, somebody out there knows that they were able to get me to do that. Every year they get the satisfaction of knowing that I am humiliated all for $1 million.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I don't know if I could.
Now, if the question was...
Take the money.
If the question was, your kid gets cancer, you can cure the cancer by going back and watching your parents have sex once a year, yes, I would do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's different.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. Super nerdy Sama, if you went back in time and met yourselves as kids and told them what you both do for a living, what would they say or think of you?
Young Larson would lose his mind. Like, you get to talk about pro wrestling for a living? That's so cool.
So like young Steve would be, really? You like pro wrestling? That's weird, because like young Steve didn't like 10-year-old Steve didn't like pro wrestling. 10-year-old Steve might be a tad disappointed because I didn't say, hey, I'm a comic book artist. But, you know, 10-year-old Steve is also kind of stupid. He doesn't understand the priorities in life and, you know, some things change. So I'd say, listen, 10-year-old Steve, being a comic book artist actually is probably not that great of an existence because you
have
to deal with...
Wasn't putting food on the table.
Exactly. Like, unless you're a really, really top hand at comics, you know, that's a tough gig.
Yeah.
Nicholas Grosskirth. Other than the live stream, what does a typical Steven Larson behind-the-scenes work week look like?
So, Monday through Thursday, I'll show up at Steve's house anywhere between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m.
Uh-huh.
First thing we'll do is the daily show.
Yeah.
Usually I'll come prepared with a story and some notes, but every once in a while we'll commiserate and decide which story to do.
I'm always surprised by how on the same page we are with like the news thing.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of days it's fairly obvious which.
Yeah, but some days it's not.
Priorities.
Usually we're still like, hey, let's talk about this. I usually try to have the set ready by the time you get there.
Yeah. So we'll wear our dress shirts, look nice.
Yes.
Spend about 10 minutes shooting that.
Mm-hmm.
The Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday episodes I'll cut right there while Steve transitions the set to the podcast.
And I work on all the thumbnails.
And the thumbnails. And so in about an hour, I can get the daily done,
mm-hmm.
get it exported and uploaded to YouTube. And while that's happening, I'll either eat something or we'll finish getting set ready in preparation to do the podcast, usually around 12:30.
Yeah.
And we'll shoot that we'll do 20 minutes before and after the show with the patrons.
Yes.
And the pre-show and post-show, and then we'll take about an hour to do the actual show. And then after that, Steve will put the episode together, get it uploading. Oh, sorry, no. Now that we just do it all streaming, just take the stream file, make sure that everything's good to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll do whatever we need to do, whether it's the gaming stuff mm-hmm. or a count out or the debate show.
Yeah.
And usually we'll work till 4 or 4:30. And then I'll head home. In the evening hours, if I have any other work to do, assuming I don't have to watch any wrestling, I'll do it then.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not terribly exciting. A lot of what you guys see, like in terms of us, like it goes, the set goes fairly silent once like we're not on camera. Like,
yeah.
Are with talking required.
We don't do a whole lot of socializing.
No, we don't. We're like I've heard that Mike and Mike are like the cameras go off and they just do not talk to each other.
Yeah.
It's not really like that.
No, it's not really.
But yeah, one day I'm going to do like a BTK. No, BTS. BTS, EPK is what I'm thinking of. BTS, behind the scenes. I'll do that for one of our Sunday shows.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. BP, Sculpt, and Deathlock. What were your wedding songs? Did you have one that played when you guys like did the final thing?
You mean during the ceremony?
Yeah. Like when you walk back down the aisle. Oh,
man.
Or like when you came down. So like we did... We did... When my dad... So my dad was our guy.
Mm-hmm.
Was your dad your guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. He said, I now present... You know, you're now man and wife. You may kiss the bride. And then we turned to the crowd and then the Beach Boys' Wouldn't It Be Nice came on. And that's what we walked away to.
I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on what we... Our the song that played after the conclusion of the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I don't remember that.
Now that I think about it, I really wish that I would have walked out to Stone Cold Steve Austin's theme song.
That would have been good.
Although I've seen that in weddings before, and it just sort of cheapens it all.
Yeah. That's one of those things that sounds better in theory than
I know. It's like if you're one of those dudes who gets married a bunch, then yeah, one of them you can waste Stone Cold on. But otherwise, like, you know, keep it classy, man.
Yeah.
Keep it classy. Or at least, you know, do Aleister Black's theme song, which is legitimately good music. Charles Sips. How many 10-year-olds could you take in a fight? Let's say, like, you know, it's either you and your family or this army of 10-year-old zombies. They're already undead. So, you know, their nerve endings are probably dulled. They're 10 years old. Yes, they're kids technically, but it's an army of the undead. How many can you take on?
I like to hope, with as much as I've been working out lately, at least a dozen.
I think you could take on much more. I think we could both like destroy. I mean, all day until our stamina gives out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking in the dozens.
Okay.
I'm thinking like 100 of those old 10-year-olds at least. And even then, you know, if I find a baseball bat,
Yeah, it kind of depends on what we have at our disposal. Do we have to rely solely on our fists and feet?
Right.
Do we have weapons?
Yeah.
It all kind of depends.
This is going to be like collar and elbow.
Yeah. Catch as catch can.
Catch as catch can.
All sorts of submission holds, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, if you start doing that, then you're probably, you know, I would just think a bunch of clothesline from hell's. Clothesline
super
from hell.
Oh,
yeah,
kick super
kick. Yeah, party, exactly. Richard Nason, if one of you were to... Did you favorite this one? If one of you were to move away for any given reason, who do you think would take it worse? Would Steve be more upset if Larson moved and vice versa, and would Going In Raw continue via Skype like you do sometimes with Dan? I think, okay, so if there was some big thing that forced you into moving to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Right? And it was, I was like, oh boy, I can't make that trip, but, you know, Going In Raw must continue. I think the people would be okay with a Skype version of it.
Yeah, it's better that than nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
well, that's not exactly the question, is which one would be more upset that we couldn't do it in person anymore?
I guess it would depend, kind of, on if our revenue was affected. I'll put it this way. I think we would both be affected emotionally maybe the same. You would probably be a little less upset simply because you're the one who has to drive to my house.
That's a good point.
So in that respect...
It would alleviate that responsibility for
me. I mean, I would say on a scale of 1 to 100, you would be upset like 5 less than me because you wouldn't have to do that anymore. Now you could do it from your house.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, sounds like it's time for me to move.
It can only be to Oklahoma, though.
No. It's tornadoes in Oklahoma.
Where do you want to move to? Can't be like Europe, dude. That's like, the time difference is too much there. I can't deal with you if you're like in the middle of the night. You're like, kid's trying to sleep right now, so I got to be quiet. I'm like, well, that doesn't work for the show, man. Now our CPM's going to go down.
I don't know how to think about that. Maybe the Bay Area. Weather's nicer.
Oh, and then, yeah, well, the Bay Area would be great. Because then we can just get together every, you know, like once a week at that point.
Yeah, and just spend a whole day shooting stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So people still get that. So, yeah, it's a possibility. the Bay Area. How, what are you, freaking millionaire all of a sudden? What the
heck? No, I mean,
what is going on
it's
now?
It's a pipe dream.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it is a dream. You leaving me is a pipe dream. That's what you're saying.
No, me living in the Bay Area is a pipe dream.
Oh, okay. You got, yeah, but you got to connect that with reality, pal. Richard Nason again. He's got a lot of questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Steve, what is the actual story about you causing $1,300 worth of damage on your car while getting tacos?
It was a burrito, wasn't it?
Well, it was a burrito, but that is the actual story. I still maintain that. So I was playing a lot of GTA 4, I think, at the time. Well, this is a weird setup now with you with your arm.
Let's try and get comfortable.
Me and Big Jim were going to go get a burrito from Cabo's, which is no longer in existence at that location, evidently. And it was one of the few times, it was one of the few days out of the year in LA at the time that it would rain. And we drove, it was at night. We drove there, and it was pouring down. And we got our burritos to go. We got in the car, and I don't know what came over me, but I just hit the gas, and that car just took off. And I sort of just turned right into a big concrete base for like a light pole. And like my front end, like sort of area on the corner. My car's front area just got blasted. And I was like, son of a biscuit, that sucks. And like my burrito fell on the ground.
Oh, man.
That was like the insult right there, man. Added to the injury. And I kind of like, there's a part of me that like, I don't know, flashed that I was in GTA when it happened. I'm pretty sure that caused the damage. So ended up being like, yeah, $1,200-$1,300, something like that. I mean, that's the story. I wasn't drunk or nothing. I wasn't high. I was just hungry. Richard Nason, again. What's your best 10 for the win, worst 10 for the win, and an episode of 10 for the win you never got to shoot or produce?
Best, Heavy Rain.
Okay.
Or Mass Effect. I know that's traditionally what we said. I haven't watched them in forever, so they might suck now. I don't know.
Well, I liked our E3 videos.
Yeah. I'm just thinking strictly 10 for the win.
Strictly 10 for the win.
The worst is the Tron one.
Yeah.
And then what's the one we've... Was there ever one that we wanted to do that we never got to?
Oh, jeez. It's funny. It feels like so long ago, and it feels like just yesterday.
I mean, we did like over 600 episodes, so I'd like to think if there's one we wanted to do, we got it done.
Okay, so kind of tangentially, we never did. We never really. There was no payoff episode for the Steven Larson the video game thing.
Oh yeah,
because we never did a Steven Larson the video game.
Yeah, it was just something that we used as a device to.
I think there should have been some sort of cancellation storyline there.
Yeah.
You know, or like vaporware storyline. What is it called? Freeware? Vaporware.
Vaporware, like never existed. Yeah, yeah.
There never should have been some sort of payoff there.
Yeah.
And there never was.
We'll do that in 5 years.
There you go.
It's been in production limbo the whole time.
Well, hey, look, man, we were there at Machinima today.
Yeah, we could have done something.
We should have just asked, hey, can we buy 10 for the win? I really want to buy that.
I know you do.
I really want to buy 10 for the win. Marcius Mark, do you guys think you benefited from going to college, or do you think you could have taught yourselves how to do filmmaking without it? They're not mutually exclusive. Yes, we could have taught ourselves how to do filmmaking without it. Anybody can.
Yeah.
Filmmaking is remarkably easy. number two, I do, however, think we benefited from going to college.
Yeah.
I did anyways.
Yeah, no, I think the benefits were less academic. And more, I mean, for all of us, because you and I and some friends all moved down to Southern California and went to school together. And I think probably more than anything, it was good for us to finally get out of our parents' homes.
Yes.
And live on our own.
Yeah, that was a huge
learning experience. And start the transition to becoming somewhat functioning adults.
Men.
So that was good.
Yeah.
And then the thing about our education... Our film school education is that we were one of the last classes that did everything on film.
Oh, yeah.
And while it was expensive and tedious and time-consuming, it definitely taught... I'll speak for myself personally. It taught me that, you know, the importance of planning, of especially in the editing room, when you make a cut, you better
mean it. Yep.
You don't do anything willy-nilly in the editing room, because that's a whole half hour you got to spend undoing the cut. Dude,
you know what? So we watched them on Netflix. I was telling you that movie Christine, mm-hmm. about the news anchor who shot herself on... Fantastic movie. You guys check it out. And at one point, she was cutting on a moviola.
Yeah.
And I was like, Lacey, that's literally how I learned how to edit. Because they were like rushing to get it done for like the broadcast. And she was in there with the tape and everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's how I learned to edit. And she was like, oh my God, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, with tape. Oh man. I think also like sort of to piggyback off that, understanding how to work with basically strangers, like your classmates.
Yeah.
And like, you know, understanding your roles and stuff. Like I would have... You know, I don't know. I was pretty stupid back then. I probably would have taken things a bit more serious and done things a little bit different.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's how you learn, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like I wouldn't have had those learning experiences otherwise. And so so college does a lot in terms of, you know, getting you out of your comfort zone, understanding how to work within groups and relationships and building relationships. And, I mean, dude, it's funny. How many people, I mean, this sort of extends past college, obviously, but like we don't really interact with a lot of people that we weren't close with before college.
Yeah.
That, you know, we went to college with. But, you know, in terms of, you know, the people that we knew at Machinima for the past 8 years or whatever it's been, you know, we've kept tabs on all them and they're still doing things. Mm-hmm. And those are all relationships. It's all about relationship building in whatever field you want to get into.
Yeah.
Because if you can build really good relationships, your skill level is kind of like not as important as your relationship building level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you know what you're doing to you know, to the very basic degree.
Competence.
But you can build relationships all over the map. That's the biggest thing. Yeah. I mean, honestly, yeah. I always chalk up my horrible like networking skills to why I never really had a chance at like doing comics the way I really wanted to back in the day, is because I'm not a very good like networker.
Yeah, I'm not either.
You know, I think that's one thing that you and I have in common that sometimes like shoots us in the foot a bit. Like not necessarily these days, but I think traditionally, if you and I are both kind of shy when it comes to like broaching others.
Yeah.
And so,
well, especially I think, I mean, we're relatively social people. We'll talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
But especially if it's anything related to business, I think we get self-conscious about it.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. So, yeah. But, yes, college. Good. I would say not for everybody.
Yeah.
But if you can do it, it's worth a shot.
In terms of film school, I don't necessarily think it was necessary.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Especially given our circumstances. I mean, learning how to do stuff on film was neat, but at the same time, it was during the transition that pretty much every school was making to video.
It would have been
interesting to you know, me and Grant, I took a non-linear, a digital editing class in college, but mm-hmm. it was on a platform that mm-hmm. no one really used then. I don't even know if it exists now.
Was it Light something or another?
Lightworks, I think.
Lightworks, yeah.
So it's not like it did a ton of good, but like if I was able to take an Avid class and learn mm-hmm. how to edit on an Avid, you know, those are as concrete skills that I could have walked out of film school with. But instead, I learned a bunch of stuff that no one was really doing anymore.
And dude, seriously, like these days...
So I taught myself how to do non-linear editing.
If somebody wants to avoid going to college but make movies, it is so easier to do it. It's so easy to do it these days than it's ever been. My recommendation would be simply this. Read the biographies of filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
There are several Orson Welles biographies, and he's always the guy I point to, because talk about a guy who just scrapped for virtually his entire career to make really groundbreaking movies. I mean, some were better than others, but my God, like he had all this amazing talent and energy, and he scrapped to put together these movies. And those types of stories and just the ingenuity that he would have to, you know, come up with to make these things on, you know, budgets that were like virtually nothing back then, especially. Or I don't know if they ever did a book on Cassavetes. He's another guy who did things completely independent.
Yeah.
Research independent filmmakers, read their biographies, understand what they did and how they did it. And then hop on YouTube for tutorials on lighting, on sound, on, you know, well, cinematography,
editing
equipment. Like, you can, there's so much cheap equipment out there, and making movies is so, it's so easy.
Another book to check out is Sidney Lumet, wrote a book about kind of his directing career. And that's a really good read. Definitely check that out.
The Robert Rodriguez one that a lot
Rebel Without a, what's it called?
Something. Rebel Without a something.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Crew.
Again,
Rebel Without a Crew.
Again, like, the technical aspects of it are way dated.
Yeah.
But, like, just it'll inspire you in terms of thinking outside the box when you're on a low budget movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's if I had more time in the day, I'd love to do more short films.
Oh yeah, same here.
Let's see here. Stephen Moore on 10 for the One way back when, what made you guys be in front of camera for the show?
I guess that when we started doing the stand-ups.
I guess so, yeah.
I think part of that was so we would fit in with other shows on Machinima at the time. There's like Inside Gaming was doing stand-ups, so was ETC.
Yeah.
And so we just thought, okay, well, let's do that. I mean, we'd already gotten ourselves out there in front of the camera doing the short, the intros.
Right.
And we just thought, okay, well, let's just do it stand-up. So it kind of fits in more with the overall feel of of Machinima programming that was happening at the time.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons. I think there was like it was killing a couple birds with one stone, because I think we both just felt the show needed to be spruced up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, a lot of our comedy worked really, really well in front of the camera,
and it allowed us to kind of edit in more jokes.
Well, yeah, we could edit in more jokes, but also, because I know footage was kind of, it's like, man, do we really, we would start reusing footage. Sometimes footage would be hard to come by, like, you know, for, you know, the glitches or stuff like that. It's like,
or old games.
Yeah. Old games, especially if we couldn't cap it, or if we could cap just like a little bit of it or whatever, or if there's like really bunk trailers out there, you want to show, like, you know, you want your show to look good.
Yeah.
And so it would allow us to get around that too. So it just made a lot of sense for a couple of reasons. Markiest Mark, I was listening to your buddies over there on ETC and they were talking about the toxic/annoying fan base of Rick and Morty and Insane Clown Posse. It got me thinking, is there something you find annoying about the Going In Raw fan base?
No. We've been really fortunate to have a really positive, inclusive, community around the productions we've done, pretty much since we've started, I feel like. Definitely since we kind of got on our own. The Going In Raw community is fantastic. I can't think of anything about it that I necessarily find annoying.
One of the things that I think both of us are very proud of is, like, dude, whenever we go to a wrestling show and people come up to it, I've never had a negative experience.
Yeah.
Never once. Everybody's always so nice. And, I mean, I think that's one thing that we try to do with the show is, and that's one of the biggest compliments I get is when people have noticed that, you know, generally we're pretty positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, one thing is, it's really easy to say, oh my gosh, the booking is predictable. And obviously it can be sometimes. But when you understand, I always just say, we make the most out of the hand that we're dealt.
Mm-hmm.
If we hated the product, we wouldn't do this.
Yep.
And so we try to find the positives, you know, and expand on them. And we try to look at constructive ways to understand how the show could be better,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just crapping on everything.
Yep.
And I think that sort of translates to the, you know, what you talk about and who we are sort of translates to our audience. And I think that's why, you know, you see a lot of constructive talk in our YouTube comments. And granted, there's always, you know, there's plenty of negatives, but, you know, We try to foster that environment. I think we've been pretty successful.
Yeah, I think so.
I like this question. Stevie Bradley. What are your relationships with your neighbors? Are you friends with them, or are you just cordial and just wave when you see them? Or are you just completely oblivious to what they're doing?
I'll always wave and say hi to my neighbors.
Yeah?
But that's pretty much the extent of it.
So on one side, I've got some neighbors that we actually engage with a little bit. Like, he's come over and he's helped with my sprinkler system because I think he's like an electrical engineer, which is super helpful and completely out of my realm of, like, skill. And they're super nice, really cool people. And then on the other side, I've nodded to him and waved a little bit. And then one time when I mowed like a ridiculous section of grass that was kind of getting onto my area, he just said, "Hey, thanks for this." I was like, "Sure thing." But that's the extent of it. One time, like, I noticed that his dog was in his backyard, like, sort of wrapped up in, like, because he, like, kept his dog chained or something in his backyard. And I was like, "Hey, you know, your dog is chained back there. It's kind of wrapped up. You might not want to chain your dog in your own backyard." I said that. And he said, "Yeah, well, you know, the other neighbors on the other side, they always complain about it barking." I said, "Yeah, don't worry about them. Your dog will be fine." And from that day, he never kept it chained up in the backyard. So I like to think that I helped that dog out a little bit. I mean, I was trying to be, you know, the best way to get somebody not to do something that you want them to do is to be a dick. That's the easiest way to get somebody. The easiest way to get somebody to do what you want them to do
is to be nice.
Is to be nice and sympathetic to whatever it is you think is going on in their head.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
"Hey, man, I know, I get it. I'm on the same wavelength as you, but you can totally do that." And then they'll do it. People are pretty easy, man. TGX, if you can go back in time and tell your younger self two words, what would you say?
"Try harder."
Oh, wow. Jeez, Dad. Freaking yelling at young you, huh?
No, because...
"Try harder."
Because there was a lot of times... Like, I did well in school.
Yeah.
But I knew exactly how much effort I had to put forth to
get by.
Yeah. And I wish I just, not only just academically, but in terms, like, I didn't really do any extracurricular stuff. I played sports when I was young, but I never played sports for whatever school I was going to.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I didn't have that anxiety about specifically the sports, but, you know, going out there and, like, I was never gonna be good enough to do anything professionally, but I enjoyed playing baseball.
Yeah.
And I played up until the point where I couldn't play Little League anymore, and I could have played, pretty sure I would have made the junior high team.
Yeah.
But I would just the anxiety about playing for the school was, I just didn't want to deal with it, so I just do it. Yeah, and I wish I had.
Yeah.
I wish I had just pushed myself a bit more.
What if younger you would just simply be confused by what those words are?
Well,
try harder.
I would like to think of...
And then you disappear, and you're like, "Try harder at what? Oh, I'm so confused right now. Try harder. Try harder."
It's either "try harder" or "do more."
Because you only get two words. Yeah, I was thinking "do more," but I'm like, man, I'm already doing a lot. I'm trying to think of two words that can encapsulate, like, you know, I would go back in time and say, "Steve, sex good."
Unless three words, actually.
Well, okay, no. Well, it's implied, Steve. I would just go back and say, "Sex good." And then younger me would be like, "I know." And then I'd disappear, and he'd be like, "Oh, I'm high as shit." You favored this one. TGX has some bands.
Oh.
Led Zeppelin or Black Sabbath?
Sabbath.
Yeah, I'm going with Sabbath on this one. Hold on, I'm going to look at these. I think we might be on the same. We might differ on one, and I'm gonna seem like a sellout. Coldplay or Radiohead?
Radiohead.
That is easy. Not even in the same stratosphere.
Yeah, that one's so easy.
That is not... They shouldn't even be an or.
Yeah. It should be early Radiohead or current Radiohead. That should be the...
Yeah, there you go. Well, what do you consider early Radiohead?
Okay, Computer and everything before. Kid A is like the fulcrum in their chain, because that's when they started introducing more electronics into their work.
Oh, my goodness. I'd probably go with...
So essentially what you're saying is, do you like the Benz and OK Computer more than Kid A and everything they've done afterwards?
Oh, man, that's tough. I know. I mean, OK Computer, I think, might be my Desert Island, my Desert Island album.
Yeah.
So how can I not go with that?
I know.
But then Kid A, you know.
I know.
Aerosmith or Rolling Stones?
Stones.
Yeah, I'll say Stones, yeah. I shouldn't have hesitated there. Iron Maiden or Judas Priest?
Maiden.
Dude, I honestly don't know. I mean, I know a small handful of freaking songs from both of them.
That one is that I thought about that one the most, because I like some Judas Priest songs too.
I mean, I'd probably go with Judas Priest, be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not like
I don't think there's a wrong choice on that one.
Yeah, there isn't. Metallica or Megadeth?
Oh, Metallica.
Okay, all right. So we're samesies on that.
Yeah.
I figured you might want to go. Because if you say Megadeth, you're a bit more hardcore, I feel.
Yeah, but their songs weren't as good.
That's true. You know what? I know it's like the metalheads out there, like, shit on the Black Album because it was, like, mainstream.
Yeah. Well, it's consciously mainstream. That was a kind of the point of...
I was listening to that the other day. Because Summer, my stepkid, Summer's into that album. And I put her on. I was like, God damn. I know these songs are catchy, and that's like the sellout thing to say, but that was a good album. There's a lot of good stuff on that.
Mm-hmm.
Last question from our good friendo, Kagan of the West. Hey, friendos, you two are not just buddies. You guys are business partners. As such, would you say that one of your policies is tell the other guy absolutely everything that relates to the two of you? I am a firm believer that transparency is key in a partnership of any kind. I would love to hear your response.
I think anything that relates to...
us as a duo, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, then yeah.
If I think that something in my personal life is going to affect us as a business, then yeah, absolutely, I got to tell you about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, otherwise, it ain't none of your business, man.
Exactly.
Get out of my shit. How about that?
I know. Mind your own business.
Mind your beeswax, man.
If it's not about our business, then mind your own.
Then I don't want to know about it.
Nope.
No way, man.
Nope.
And yet, we still do talk about stuff. Like...
yeah. Because we're friends first.
Really? Business, we're friends first?
Business friends, partners second.
Friends come before the business?
Absolutely.
I don't know, man. Money talks.
I know. But we were friends before we worked together, and I assume we'll be friends if... for some reason, we don't work together anymore.
This ain't never going to end. We're going to retire doing this.
I think you mean we're going to die doing this. Because I don't suspect we'll ever retire.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, so anyways, that's it. That's all we got. We're going to get some pizza.
We're going to watch Raw. And then we're going to catch a flight back home.
That's correct. I get to sleep in my own bed tonight. And I actually get to see my child first thing in the morning and see her off to school before I...
mm-hmm.
Go to the airport. What time is our plane leaving?
Around noon.
Noonish?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're flying into the future? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Anyways, thanks for all your questions, patrons. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.